chapter 2. And if you don't know where that is, it's in the Old Testament, right after Psalms and Proverbs, but feel free to look at your table of contents to find the passage. We want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I'd like to read this morning a single verse of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Several years ago, I was in a Starbucks on Highway 287 in Decatur, enjoying a cup of coffee with my good friend Tom Rogers, pastor of a church in Wichita Falls. We often met there, and then we'd go on to Sweetie Pie's and have a ribeye steak in the afternoon and spend the day encouraging, fellowshipping with one another. But I remember on one particular Friday morning, as we sat there drinking our venti Starbucks coffee, he held that cup up and he said, we were discussing Ecclesiastes, and he held the cup up and he said, David, God has given us this cup of coffee just simply to enjoy as a gift from him. I've never forgotten that. It's remained in my mind all of these years, and it's not infrequent that I take a cup of coffee and I think of that particular statement. That statement comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, as we have just read, but there's a theme in that book that many of you might be familiar with, and it's the theme of vanity. Solomon, the author, we believe, wrote in that book, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." It's how he opens the book. The word for vanity is the word abel. It's the same term as the name of the brother of Cain, whose name was Abel. And the term means really a mist, something that comes for a moment and then immediately disappears. It's like the vapor that comes from your mouth on a cold day. You see your breath come out, the vapor comes out, and then suddenly it just disappears. And Solomon tells us that life is like that. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's just a mist. We're here for a moment, and then suddenly it's gone. And in light of that, Solomon gives us this exhortation, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, than that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. In the midst of life, when it suddenly appears and then disappears, we are to enjoy the simple things in the moment as a gift from God and thank God for them. Life is, at times, can happen where a moment can seem like an hour, and an hour can seem like a day, and a day can seem like a week. But there's another side to look on that particular coin, and there, even though life can seem to go so slowly at times, and yet when you look back, it seems to have gone so quickly. It seems like just yesterday we were seated here for a worship service preparing for God's Thanksgiving. It seems like just 2 days ago that we took down Christmas decorations, and now this week we're going to have to think about putting them back up. And as you get older, life feels like a blur. And then as you reach your upper years, you say to one another, where did the years go? They're like a snap of the fingers. They're just gone. And you wonder. Life is a mist, but in the midst of that mist, in the midst of that vapor, in that midst of that momentary moment, God calls us to enjoy the good gifts that he gives to us, to thank God for those gifts and the simple things of life. That thought is a refrain in the book, and even though the subject of the book might be vanity of vanities, the refrain is given throughout that book. Listen to these additional scriptures. here is what I have seen from chapter 5. It is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for that is his heritage. From chapter 8, so I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. And then those who are married, from chapter 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. And so as we go through life, we're to be mindful of the simple things and thank God for the simple things. And so we awake in the morning, and I thank God that I had a good night's sleep and not awaking with a backache like I used to. I get in my cup of fresh black coffee, and I thank God for that cup of coffee. I thank God that I have a Bible written in my language that I can open, and God speaks to me from the Bible. I thank God that at that moment, the presence of the Spirit is there to open my eyes to the truth of His Word to encourage me. I thank God for that second cup of coffee when I eat it with an English muffin smothered in honey. I thank God for the kiss that I can give to my wife before I walk out the door. I can thank God for the health that I have to get to work, for the office that I can work in, for the people that I'm surrounded with, the encouraging words I can give to them and they can give to me. I thank God for the events that unfold every single day to allow me to minister and serve others, and others minister and serve me. For the text that I give, requesting prayer, and the text I give, asking for prayer. I thank God that I can go home at night and there's a roof over my head. And for one who doesn't like to cook, a meal on the table. For a quiet evening at home, because the kids are grown and gone. But for the noisy house, when the kids and the grandkids come back. The family in the quiet house when they leave again. And for some fresh sheets on the bed that have been hung out on a line because of the freshness of the outdoor drying time, and a fresh pillowcase to lay my head on. Thanking God for the simple things of life. Thanking Him that I can get up on my day off and I can go learn a new sport with a friend. Thanking God that I can, in the afternoon of that day, in the warm 60-degree November sunshine, walk in a wooded park with my wife and enjoy an hour of just enjoying the moment of time and thanking God for it and savoring that moment. I have been accused many times of being a workaholic by my family. Life all too often has been way too busy for me. I have people at the church, I know you're busy, but can I have some time? And I hate that statement because I don't want to be too busy to talk to people. And so one of the former leaders of this church said to me one time, Dan Hartog, you need to slow down and smell the roses. And that was followed up by a letter from my younger brother who said, I hate to chide my older brother, but Dave, you need to create some margins in your life and go fishing. Now, fishing is not my passion. I like it, but he was simply telling me I need to enjoy the moment and slow down and savor the simple things of life and thank God for them. And so I told the elders repeatedly over a period of about 3 years that I wanted to create some margins in my life that year, and every year I'd come back and confess that I hadn't done it. And finally, they will testify this past year is able to say, I've begun to create some margins because I want to enjoy the moment and savor what God has given me, the simple things in life, so that I can thank God for them. And so I've had that thought in my mind over the last months and even years in growing proportion. But even as I've thought about that, I began to read earlier this summer a book by Tim Keller on prayer, pastor of a Presbyterian church in New York City. It's the best book I've ever read on prayer, and so I have gone through it very slowly and methodically, reading just a section at a time within a chapter and plotting my way through it and ruminating on some of the thoughts that he has. But recently, in one of the chapters, he was quoting C.S. Lewis, and I read what he quoted, Lewis declaring this, "I have tried to make every pleasure into a channel of adoration." And then Keller comments, "By pleasure, Lewis means things as diverse as a beautiful mountain valley, delicious food, a great book, or a piece of music." And then he goes on to quote Lewis again. "While we should give God thanks for every pleasure, we should think, how good of God to give me this. What must be the quality of that being whose far off and momentary blessings are like this? One's mind runs back up the sunbeam to the sun. What kind of God would create this and give me this?" And I began to realize that the simple little pleasures of life, the lunch that we eat, the roof over our head, whatever it might be, are designed to call our attention to a God who is good and a God who loves us and to adore him for who he is. And as I've reflected upon that, I become mindful of the fact that when I went through seminary, I learned in theology class that God was good. It was one of his attributes. And God was full of love. That was an attribute of God. But as I've meditated on these thoughts and allowed the gratitude and the attitude of gratitude for the simple pleasures of life to lead me back up the ladder to a good and a loving God, I have begun to realize not just simply in my head and my mind that God is good and loving, but I have felt it and experienced it in the bottom of my heart. And it has allowed me to sit back and just to bask in the unconditional, ever-present love of God as demonstrated in the good gifts that he gives to me, those pleasures which call me back to him. And I'm reminded of the book of James, that every good gift comes from above. They are pleasures to be enjoyed in the moment, savored, and we thank God for them. May I encourage you this week, as we move towards Thanksgiving, to be mindful of the simple pleasures of life, the little things. And thank God for them, because a good God and a loving God has given them to you for your enjoyment to bring honor and praise unto him. And so Solomon writes, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God." Would you pray with me? Our gracious God and Father, how grateful we are for the simple little pleasures of life. This morning, for a church family to be with, a comfortable room in which to sit, worship songs that touch our hearts, scriptures that are open to us, for the promise of some rest today, apart from the daily activities of life, but also, Father, for the labor that we will have tomorrow and the enjoyment simply in that labor, for family, for friends, for fellowship, for blessings which are too innumerable to count, we give you thanks. And Father, in the midst of all of that, we thank you, God, for what you are doing in the lives of the people of this body of believers, the way that you are transforming people's lives through the ministry of the truth of your word. And as we have the opportunity to hear what you are doing in just a small handful of people's lives, we pray that our own hearts would assume an attitude of gratitude and we might reflect upon the pleasures you give us and climb the ladder of those pleasures back unto you and give you praise and honor and adoration. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.